When you look at family as God intended it, the family unit consisted of a husband and a wife who in unity would eventually raise children under one roof. In Bible times, basic family was when you look through the history, you would find that, yes, there was the head of the household was usually a father or the oldest male who carried the responsibility of teaching the family or the children about the love of God, teaching them the ways of the Lord. The final authority in the household was usually, like I mentioned, a father or a male. And I think that's very important to understand, because where the real problem lies in today's society is not necessarily broken homes. Now, that's a huge issue in today's society. But the even bigger issue is found in fatherless families. I was reading another article. It was called Fatherless Families. And listen to what it says. It says that one of the greatest social problems of our day is the physical absence of the father in homes. And they call it a major social problem because studies have shown that there is a major impact on children when fathers are absent in their lives. Statistics show and prove this point right. They say that 85% of youth that go into prison came from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers lacked a father figure in their life. 63% of suicide come from those who were raised without their father. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless households. 75% of adolescents in substance abuse treatment centers today were kids or people that grew up without a father figure in their life. Catch this. 90% of homelessness and runaways are from fatherless households. And lastly, 85% of children who have behavioral disorders are children who come from fatherless households. See, in today's society, there is no greater role or modern society that suffers greater than the neglect of the father role in a family. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because I think it's important that we understand that God has called us to be fathers. Fathers that live according to God's standard. And that's what we want to talk about. And the reason this is so important is because, you know, fatherless times were common even in the Bible. If you read in the Bible, you'll read about fatherless times. However, fatherless times in the Bible were usually because a child lost their parent to death. In today's world, the principal cause of fatherless is parental choice. People today choose selfishness rather than doing their best to raise their children. Boy, it's quiet in here. And again, this isn't in any way, shape, or form to speak down. However, we need to talk about the issues in our society. We need to have conversations like this in the church. Because truth be told, many of us, when we grew up, we didn't necessarily grow up with the father figure in our life. I grew up with the father that provided for me, but I can't say that he gave me the emotional support that I need. There's a reason I'm psychologically messed up in some areas. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you got some issues too. But thank God that there is a father in heaven, that the Bible says he is a fatherless to the fatherless. Thank God that through the love of Jesus, you and I can be healed of all offenses, and God is able to make us whole and complete. And in with moving forward with our sermon series, Family Matters, I only felt right to speak about the father's role because this I found very interesting. Did you know that fatherless times is a sign of the end times? That's heavy stuff. Let me explain to you. If you read in Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says this: remember the law of the servant Moses and the decrees of the laws I gave him on Horeb, all of Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day that the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land in total destruction. Some translation, the New King James says, I will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. Now that is heavy, not only because of what it says, but it's heavy in where it's written. It was written right before the 400 years that God went silent. Before the New Testament, earth was so bad and corrupt that God went silent for 400 years. No prophet heard anything. And the last words of a prophet was that in the last days, God would turn the fathers back to their children and their children's back to their fathers. Why? Because there was an issue in the family. Fast forward, Luke chapter 1, verses 17. When John is preparing the way of the Lord for Jesus, listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verses 17. Are you with me? You following me? We're going somewhere this morning. Listen to what it says. Luke chapter 1, verses 17. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready the people to prepare the way of the Lord. We are living in the day of broken families. To take it a step further, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 3 speaks of the problem. And it says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. And I bring this up to you because you have to understand that God has a special concern in his heart for the fatherless. Not only has he called us as the men in the church to be fathers to our children, but he is calling us to imitate God as the father to his children here on earth. You see, I dare to say that if you say yes to the call of God and you're in this church, chances are you're not just going to father your children. God is going to bring a young man into your life that you're able to love and instill biblical principles within so that he can be right standing with the Lord. God may bring a young lady into your family so that you and your wife can be a great help and teach them and guide them along the way. What we need in the church today is strong families. People that say we will serve God together. We will serve God and walk upright and just according to God's standards, not by our standards. If there was ever a time that we needed male leaders to rise, it's now. And what I want to do this morning, I'm actually going to give you a few biblical principles of what it looks like to be a father. And I also want to look at the life of Abraham, who was a good father and who God gave specific instruction when it came to raising up his children and leading his household. Because like I mentioned, in today's day and age, we even have blended families. Listen, Father, God's called you to raise those children in the ways of the Lord. God has called us to cross boundaries. Cross racial boundaries, cross even bloodlines. This morning, it's not about where you were born and what family you were born into, but you got to know that God is giving birth to his family. That's why you're here. And some of the voids that you may have had in your household, God can meet them. So this morning, we're going to look at Abraham, and I thought this was interesting. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, here God speaks to Abraham and begins to tell him how he will become a great and powerful nation. And this is what he says. Genesis 18, verse 19. It says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so the Lord will bring about for Abraham what was promised to him. There's some heavy instructions there that I think that we as fathers or father figures can take and apply to our lives. Are you with me? You ready to go somewhere? All right. When you look at this scripture, and like I mentioned, here God was telling Abraham how he was going to be a powerful nation. But immediately after God tells him that he will be a powerful nation and that everyone would be blessed through him, God in a sense charges him with specific instructions and responsibilities. One of the greatest responsibilities of a father is to train and instruct his children in the ways of the Lord. When you look at what the definition of a father is, it's this. It's a male parent of a household in Bible times, charged with the responsibility of providing for the family and giving religious instruction to the children. So when you look at one of the first things that the Bible tells us, he says, I have chosen him to direct his children. When you think of the world that we live in today and some of the statistics that we just talked about, it's our job as fathers to lead. It's our job to stand upright. It's our job to make sure that they understand who the Lord is. When you look at Proverbs chapter 60, verse 20, it says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. In other words, the father's role is to command his children. In other words, one of the main responsibilities of a father is to set boundaries and guidelines for them to follow. That's what it means to direct his children. Not only has God given man the incredible privilege of imitating him as father, he has placed upon the shoulders of fathers a huge responsibility to direct his children and teach them the ways of the Lord. The second thing we find in that scripture, it says, direct the children and his household after him. And this is where I want to park for a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up in a time where my father used to say things, do as I say, do not do as I do. And for years, my father didn't know that really didn't work. Come on, somebody. If anything, when I was a child, I did what he said because I had to. But as I started growing up, I started realizing that certain things were not right. How could you tell me to do one thing, but you did it yourself? And as I grew up, instead of respecting him, I resented him. I want to talk about some things this morning. See, the old do as I say, not as I do way of training our children is obsolete. The old way of sending our kids off to their mother so that they can get their emotions met is obsolete and does not work. As the head of the house, it is important to understand that we will reproduce what we are, not what we say. We can tell our children all we want to follow the Lord. We can tell our children all we want to lift your hands, but if we ourselves don't lift our hands, they're not going to follow. Because children have a tendency to imitate what they see. The words after him suggest that the father must model what he wants his children to do. Now I'm not here to bag on fathers, but I am here to bring conviction. It is our role. Maybe we don't know how to raise our children. Well, you have the word of God. Get around good men that have raised their children. Ask questions. Just because we come doesn't mean to God doesn't mean that all of a sudden we know. For me, it was undoing many years of what I learned from my father. As a matter of fact, me and my father, when I first came to the Lord over 16 years ago, I didn't get along with my father. I didn't respect him. We constantly argued. I moved out when I was 14. I moved back when I was 16. Come on, somebody. I realized it was a little hard. Hello. So children, be cool. It's not easy. But when we came to the Lord together, he took the stand and he said, and I'll never forget, I remember that he had come to the Lord and he had finally taken a stand and he said, you know what? I'm going to serve God. Now, my dad was the type of dad that would never really come to church. Who knows what I'm talking about? And I remember like, are you kidding me? You're going to church now? And I'll never forget, I went out all night and I came back at about 5:30 in the morning. And I couldn't sleep. And right when I started to close my eyes at 9 o'clock, he turned on the light and said, get up, you're going to church. I said, excuse me? I ain't going to church. He said, no, yes, you are. You live in my house. From now on, you're going to church. And he said it with that voice, like, you know, that voice, like, dang, I'm not playing right now. I got nowhere to go. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, come on. And I even talked back. I said, come on, bro, who are you fooling? You ain't going to, come on. And he said, you know what? I may not have been the best example, and I may not know it all right now, but I am going to serve God. And if you live under this house, you will have to serve God too. And later on, you know, he kind of forced me. And it didn't necessarily work. But what I'm trying to get to you is this. He took a stand. And I watched him for about a year. Did he cuss? Yeah. Did he yell? Yeah. But little by little, I started seeing a change within him. All of a sudden, he had this peace over his life. All of a sudden, he smiled even when we didn't have anything. All of a sudden, he started inspiring me and quoting me scriptures about who I could be. And when I was at the lowest point in my life, I came under the leadership of my father. See, every young man, every young lady, there is a special place that the Father plays in their life. And it's important that we understand that truth. When you look at the scripture, as he told them, direct your children, lead the household after him, and keep the ways of the Lord. And he told them specifically how he would do it. He said this, direct your children and your household after you to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. He gave him two specific things that he was supposed to do as a father and as a man that would lead his household. The first thing that he tells them, he says, do what is right. Now, this word comes from the word righteous. And this is the action and positive result that comes from a sound relationship with God. See, the word righteous simply means holy and upright living in accordance with God's standards, not our standards. And I think that as sometimes as men, we have to kind of undo some of what we've learned and learn God's ways. There is a right way to raise our children. There is a right way to deal with anxieties. There is the right way to deal with disciplining our children. And we can't just fly off the handle when they've gotten on our nerves. You know that children today get in trouble more, not because they did something wrong, but because they wore down their parents' patience. In other words, a kid is being a kid, but because we lack patience, we whoop them. Who's ever been there? I've done it. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we're going through what we go through and we whoop them and we really don't know. And I'll never forget. And I'll tell you a story that happened. You know, being the pastor of the church, we're trying to teach the kids not to come up here. And my son comes up here and he loves to grab the mic. And I remember him grabbing the mic. And I remember that I was like, I'm telling all the other kids to get off the stage. I got to tell him to get off the stage. So then I go over there, get off the stage, Joey. And he goes, no, Dad, and he gets off. Then he runs back up here. I said, get off the stage. But now, I see everyone else looking at me like the pastor got to get his kid, my kid. Come on, somebody. Can we talk about, we're family, right? Can we talk about some things? And I remember I felt the pressure of everyone looking at me because that was my kid. Can we be real? And I remember I took him to the bathroom because, you know, I don't want to whack him here. Come on, somebody. I believe I believe in spanking kids when they need to be spanked. And I took them to the bathroom, a little frustrated and upset, and I spanked them. And I remember he looked at me, put his head up, and his tears started flowing. He said, "I just wanted to sing on the microphone." And God spoke to me that it was my patience. It was the lack of my patience. Listen, fathers, we need to be patient with our children. We need to be willing to let God work things out within us so that we can live righteously according to God's standards. See, the word righteousness comes from the root word that means straightness. And God's character is the definition and source of all righteousness. So he tells them, in order to keep the ways of the Lord, you got to do what's right, but you also got to do what is just. Now, this word just, it's the practice of doing what is right. And justice specifies what is right, not only in the code of law, but also by what makes right in even relationships. So in other words, it's to do right because you know it's right, not because you have to do what's right. And sometimes as fathers, we'll do things in front of our children because we don't want to teach them bad, but then when they're not looking, we do what's wrong. One of the things that you have to understand about walking with God is like produces like. There is a spiritual transference that whatever is in your spirit as you work with people or you work with your children will be transmitted to them. Even when we think they're not watching, it will come upon them. You think generational curses just happen? Let's talk about some things. Right? Pregnancies at like 12 and 13. You think there's just like it by happenstance? You think that just because somebody was married so many times, and those are generational curses that came upon from a father's leading. I'm talking about understanding truth, living according to God's standards. And if we are going to be effective as a church, and if we are going to build godly children, we need to be men that take responsibility and do what is right, even when nobody's watching. I know it's not easy, and I know we have a certain pressure that sits on our shoulders, but I got good news for you. Father, you learn to endure. You learn to walk according to God's standards. And the Bible says if you walk in integrity, your children will be blessed. In other words, your children will walk in divine favor because when nobody was watching, you walked with uprightness. You walked in righteousness. You did what was just according to the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 27 says this, the just man walketh in integrity and his children are blessed after him. See, men, we need to do what is right. And sometimes that means we might have to learn to get away, turn off the TV, put down the cell phone, wake up a little early even though we're tired, and read the Word of God. We need to be men that take education into our own hands. We can't learn by happenstance. You got to understand that growth is not accidental, it's intentional. And when you're intentional about walking with God and doing what is right, God will reveal himself to you and give you direction, not only for you, but for your family. And I say it with conviction because even in the church, me and my wife were talking how the media has a way of dumbing down dads. You ever notice the sitcoms? They make dads look dumb. I don't know about you. I ain't dumb. Come on, somebody. Don't call me dumb. It's serious, right? The wife makes fun of the father and the kids all laugh. All the sitcoms. Just watch some of the sitcoms on Disney. They make dads look dumb. The question becomes this. Are we living up to what they say? Or are we walking different? We need Paul's. Paul's that will find young Timothy's. There is a Timothy out there right now that doesn't have his dad. And you and I are called to walk in righteousness and find him, love him, teach him the ways of God so that he could be a young man that has a chance in this world. I'm not talking about just building a church because we want to fill this thing up, but I'm talking about reaching children. I'm talking about you fathering multiple children and you giving someone else a chance. That's what we're talking about this morning. There's more to being a father than just being a provider. There's more to being a father than just living in the house. I want to give you five things real quick. Are you with me? You getting something? According to God's word, I want to give you five things, five roles of a father. And there's more to them, but I chose just a few, and I think we'll go into a few other things later. But number one, a father's role. According to the Bible, a father should teach his children the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Some translation says, "Do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them around your hands and wear them around your forehead. And as a reminder, teach them to your children." That's one of the greatest responsibilities that we have. Listen, fathers, your children will follow your example regardless of what you say. The habits you teach them today will manifest themselves years down the line. What you teach them today. I've often said that one of the things that I remember speaking to a youth pastor, and a pastor brought him in. He didn't grow up with his father, and he brought him in at about 17 years old, and this young man lived with this pastor for about 7 years. And I'll never forget, he told me every morning I woke up, I seen that man praying at 5 a.m. Every morning. I had to be at work by 6. So every morning I would wake up and there would be music and I'd see him praying. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, here was a grown man, 25 years old, telling me about the impact that this man that wasn't even his father made simply because, one, he took him into his house and every morning seen him praying. And I remember saying to myself that when I grow up and I have children, I want to live that example out. I want to be a man that every time my children wake up, I'm sitting there praying. And right now, my children, they understand the value of prayer. They think God can heal anything right now. Oh, you're hurt? Tell them you got an owie. Eli will come up. Can I pray for you? Listen, I know it's cute, but I'm talking about a habitual thing that he sees every day that later will manifest itself. That when he sees people struggling, when he sees people hurting, he's willing. Listen, some of your children, because of the stance you made, are taking flyers to school. I am blessed, man. Our children in this, we're small right now. My God, those kids might be 6 years old, but in 10 years, I'm going to have some 16-year-olds come on that are on fire for God because a family said, we will serve God. We will teach them and show them the ways of the Lord. I think that's amazing that they love church so much at 5 years old, 8 years old, 4 years old, that they're taking flyers and giving it to their friends at school. That is a result of a family that chose to serve God together. Listen, fathers, that's our number one goal. Our number one responsibility is to teach them the ways of the Lord. Number two, as fathers, we are to show and teach our children by discipline. Proverbs 22:15 says this, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction derives it from him." See, discipline is not always whacking our kids. Sometimes we think we got to be the disciplinary. In other words, you got to go get your father. Right? Wait till your father comes home. That's what it was. That's what my dad was to me. He was the one that would whoop me. When I got suspended, and guess what I started doing? Some of you did it too. I knew my dad came home at about 5:30. I went to bed at 5 o'clock. Come on, somebody. And I remember he would show up. And I'd act like I was sleeping. And he'd say, get up. I know you're not sleeping. Come on. That's the image that a lot of children have. Don't let me get your dad. But that's not the type of discipline. Now, I believe in that. I believe there's a level of that. You have to discipline your children so that they suffer from the psychological disorder called respect. Whoop your kids so that they suffer from respecting others. Some of you will get that later. In other words, I was whooped and that's what I suffer. I respect people today because of what my father did. But discipline is a form of teaching that sets proper boundaries that guides behavior. Sometimes this is done with a rod or a belt. Sometimes it's done because they have to learn there are certain things they cannot do. And as godly men, it's our job to discipline our children. Proper discipline will give our children a chance in life later on. Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace from those who have been trained by it. We have to also demonstrate as fathers discipline. We got to show them that we can withhold from certain things and that we have self-control. Because what good is it if you whoop a child to try to guide his behavior, but when he's not watching, we suffer from the lack of self-control. When we want something, we get it. And men sometimes have that. I work hard. This is what I want to do. Woman, don't tell me nothing. I'm your father. You listen to me. If we have that lifestyle, even if we set those boundaries, they will be broken because we ourselves didn't live by the boundaries. Number three. Two more and we're done. You with me? A father is to be a provider. Matthew 7:9 says this, or what man is there among you? Listen, dad, father, head of house, it's our job to set a standard, of how people will live in our house. It's our job to set the standard. You may not be perfect, but you got to come to grips right now, draw the line in the sand and say, this is what we won't do under my house. Joshua had to do this when he was leading God's people. Joshua 24:14-15. God had started to bless his people. And as the people grew up, they started kind of doing what they wanted to do. And Joshua 24:14-15 says this, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worship beyond the Euphrates rivers and in the Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse number 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for you yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors or the gods beyond the Euphrates River. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here Joshua had drawn a line in the sand. He had set a boundary. Listen, parents, you got to set boundaries. You got to set boundaries spiritually and in your household. I say spiritually because as a father, don't wait for the trial to overtake you. Don't wait for the anxiety or the pressures of this life to tear you apart before you do what's wrong. Settle it in your spirit now what you won't do. As a father, I will not run. As a father, I will not break. I might bend, but I ain't gonna break, baby. I'm a fighter and I know how to keep chugging on. Listen, I might not feel like it, but because I got a family, I got two boys, I got a great church here in Tacoma, I gotta keep the stepping. I got to, even when I don't feel like, I got to keep praying. Even when I don't want to read, I got to keep reading. Even when I don't feel like it, by faith, I got to keep going. I got to keep inspiring. I got to keep lifting my hands. I got to keep preaching the gospel. Why? Because I will not serve any other God. I will not go back to what I used to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. As everyone's standing, this is how we're going to close. Now, you may be wondering, man, everything you said, I might not live up to all those standards. And I know that sometimes the Word of God can convict and it can hurt a little bit. But I got good news. Your family structure may not match the ideal of God's original intent. God is greater than any circumstance you face today. He is a father to the fatherless. Even if you didn't grow up with your father, you got to know that God can meet every emotional need. God can heal any wound. Maybe you didn't grow up with your father. Listen, you got to know that God has a special heart just for you. Psalms 10:14 says this, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You considered their grief and take it into their hand. The victims commit themselves to you, and you are a helper to the fatherless. God can also provide you support and help you need in the house of God so that you can become the godly man He's called you to be. And as godly men, it's our job not just to father our children, but to father the fatherless. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here this morning, maybe for whatever circumstance, maybe, man, you want to be there for your children, but maybe circumstance doesn't allow you. I need you to know this morning that God can break any barrier. God can reunite any relationship. Maybe you did some things you're not proud of. Maybe you battled and you went through life and you've come to grips that you gotta change. God sees your heart and He's able to mend every relationship. And this is what I want to do this morning. I even want to speak to, if there's any single mothers in the house this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you say, man, I'm going through a lot and I need prayer. Listen, God will meet your every need. Every head bowed and every eye closed.